thankful again for the opportunity to be together this evening. I have a subject that I'd like for us to look at. If I asked you a question, how much rest did you get this afternoon? You would maybe think, okay, when did I fall asleep? When did I wake up again? A lot of times that's what we think of rest to be. But there's a scripture that tells me that rest is something more than that. And I'd like to look at that. Because you know what? Everybody, every person that's alive and lives very long is going to have to fall asleep. You know, there are people that are in a lot of pain and maybe they can't sleep for a couple days, but after a while they're going to be exhausted and fall asleep. But I'm thinking about a verse over in Isaiah 57 and 20 that tells us rest is something more than sleep. It says, the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Now, you know what? The wicked sleep just like we do. But it says there's no rest. So rest is, goes to another level than just getting sleep. I was looking at the definition of it. Quiet, repose, a state free from motion or disturbance. And you know, if you read the news a little bit now about the things that are going on in the protest, you'll find out, you know what, there's a lot of people that are not at rest right now. And I can't hardly tell the difference between what we're looking at of rest and peace. Seems like they go hand in hand. But I was looking at what Jesus has to offer in Matthew. And I think this is more than just for the day we get saved. Matthew 11 and 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now that rest is from laboring and heavy laden, troubles in my life that I have. You know what? We all have that to deal with. But he's saying, I tell you what, if you'll come to me, I'll give you some rest. This, a state free from disturbance is what's available to us. But here's the secret that he gives for us, because I've read this verse many times, but now I look at the next one. To be able to do that, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now just stopping just with that little piece of the 29th verse. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I've seen pictures before of a young animal being yoked to one that is experienced. And that experienced one is strong enough to move him where he needs to go, to train that younger animal how to work. Except I get to make a decision on this one. You know, that younger animal is put in there by its owner without a choice of whether it wants to or not. This one right here gives me an option. Take my yoke upon you. It comes with a willingness that, Lord, I would like the rest that you have available. So I am willing to put your yoke on me. In other words, I'm willing to follow you as close as I can understand you to be. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. And then he starts finding out what that yoke is going to mean. Jesus says, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. Something more than just I fell asleep and slept for an hour. This is an inner rest. Find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I was thinking of the song that we sing, number 219. I am learning of my Savior precious lessons every hour. How the soul which he has ransomed may be kept by mighty power. He wants us to learn of him. To do that, if I'm going to yoke up with him, and it's a choice that I make, I need to see what yoking up with him would mean. So I was looking at a verse over in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, second verse. looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. So I need to turn my eyes toward who he is. He's got the promise of being able to give me soul rest, something that the world cannot have, does not have. I can have it. But you know what? I can be a Christian and still lose some soul rest. You know, I have found even just recently, you can read the news and lose some soul rest. Get in a turmoil about what all is going on and lose some of what he says. If you'll yoke up with me, I have some rest that I want to give you. Looking unto Jesus, that's going to be the important thing for us. And I'd like to find out some more about him. I look over in 1 Peter in the second chapter. This, because if I'm going to put his yoke and I'm going to be yoked up with him, I want to find out some more about him. 1 Peter 2 and 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. If I'm going to yoke up with him, these are the things that this is where I'll be heading with him. These are the things that will start being portrayed in my own life. Who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And I'm going to make a choice of whether I will yoke up with him. Following him to these levels will give me the rest that he promises to me. There is something that he taught us in the scriptures that I believe is part of this rest. And it is, he gave us an example of it himself. I'd like to look at it in Matthew, because we all have to make a choice about this one too. And this one, I believe every one of us will agree, will affect the rest that he wants to give us, depending on what we do with it. Matthew 18 and 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? You know what? The lack of being willing to forgive will cause me to not have soul rest. I'll still fall asleep sometime at night and sleep a few hours, but I'll wake with a void inside. And he says, I tell you what, if you'll yoke up with me, I'm going to give you rest. And here's part of it. Lord, how oft should I forgive? Seven times? Jesus said to him, and I'm going to yoke up with him, so I'll be following in his steps. Jesus said, I say not unto thee till seven times, but until 70 times seven. And then it goes on over to another place that brings it down closer, because I have a desire to make heaven. And he says in Matthew 6 and 14, if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This moves it on down to it's more than just whether I want to have soul rest. This comes down to whether I want to make heaven my home in the end or not. And how important it is for me to be willing to forgive. And then he didn't just tell us to do it, but he showed us by example in Luke 23. And I am glad, you know, if I yoke up with him, I get to see the example that he's already set for me. 23 and 34, where he says, and maybe I have missed it, where he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I maybe have missed it. But anyhow, he made a decision himself that he would forgive. Yeah. 23 and 34. Okay, at the top of the verse. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So he left us an example that we could follow in his steps. And he says by following in his steps, we'd be able to have a rest. Something that is more than just how many hours I sleep tonight. A soul rest. There's another verse about this in Mark, in the 11th chapter. Because, you know, I need the Lord to forgive me. I need his forgiveness. And here it says in Mark 11 and 25, when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. So when it says, take my yoke upon you, learn of me. So when I yoke up with Christ, does that mean from that time on, no one will ever do me wrong? You remember when we talk about the yoke, it means I'm going to be following in the steps that he followed. People did him wrong, but he ended it up with, Father, forgive him. So for me to have rest, I yoke up with him, and I do as he did, not through my own power, but the power that he is willing to give to me. When I am wrong, I can still have this rest. There is another secret to this rest. It says, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You know what? If I'm going to yoke up with him, I'm going to need to do the same thing. Meek and lowly in heart. We sing a song that says, humility, how calm the breast that knows thy peace sublime. Within thy courts our perfect rest grows sweeter all the time. Within thy courts our perfect rest. What courts? The courts of humility. You know, Christ humbled himself, and he gives us an example of it. But it goes on in that chorus before we go to those verses. Oh, make thy blessed abode with me. He made us that offer in Matthew. Come unto me, take my yoke upon you, learn of me. Oh, make thy blessed abode with me, thou angel of the sky. If I may ever dwell with thee, my soul shall never die. So Christ gave us an example of him humbling himself. Think of the example that he gave in Philippians, the second chapter. And third verse, you know, we're talking about I'm going to need to be humble and lowly myself. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. You know what? Here's a secret to rest, soul rest. When I esteem others greater than myself. And then it goes on down in the fifth verse, let this mind be in you. Remember about this, I won't rest, so I'm going to yoke up with him. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And he asked me to yoke up with him if I would like to have rest. He humbled himself, took upon him the form of a servant, and he didn't put on a big title and say, I want you to know I'm a servant. No, he just served. Humility is a place where we're going to be able to find rest. When humility comes from the heart, humble ourselves. There is a song, if thou wouldst have the dear Savior from heaven, walk by thy side from the morn to the even, there's a rule that each day we must follow. Humble ourselves to walk with God. Can you imagine saying, Jesus, I want this rest. I'm going to yoke up with you, but I sure don't want to be humble. You know what? He was the picture of humility. If anyone could have stood up for his rights, he could have. But the times when he could have at his trial, and it says he answered them, not a word. You know, there were so many things that he could have shown them. Flashes of lightning. I mean, you know, I could come up with some myself to tell him, here's how you do it, and you get their attention. But he just kept quiet through it all. And he tells me, yoke up with me, and I'll give you some rest. So as I yoke up with him, and I start learning about humility. Here's a song, number 147. I am only an earthen vessel. You know, that's really all any of us are. But he invites us to yoke up with him and learn how to do it. I'm only an earthen vessel that Jesus may use as he will. Whether much I may do in his vineyard or small be the place that I fill. You know what? There's a soul rest when I can have that truly as my desire. Lord, just however you would use me, I'll be pleased with that. There's something I would like for us to think about, because this went on for many, many years, and it's really hard for me to even imagine it happening. Let's look at a verse. We talk about it in Genesis when Jesus, when God spoke everything into existence, and on the seventh day, he rested. But he didn't just do that. He also, over in Exodus, I'd like to look at Exodus, when he starts giving the commandments, there was a commandment given, and I'd like to look at that. This was temporal. In Exodus 20 and 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, thy maidservant, thy cattle, thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. A commandment that he gave to them back then on Mount Sinai, that there's going to be one day a week that I want to set aside that you rest. Now, was that the same rest that we're talking about now? Did it work the same? And how many years that went on? Maybe it went on some after Jesus died, but it seemed like it came to an end as far as Jesus was concerned at his death. But how many years that was that God said, no work on the seventh day? You remember he told them, for 6 days you can go get manna, but on the seventh day don't try it, because there will be no manna there for you to get. The man that went out on the Sabbath day and he picked up some sticks. You know, we're living in a time where people say, you've got your rights. You can do what you want to do. You know, God didn't look at it that way. He set a law here, and I think there was some reason that he did it. Set a law here that 6 days is yours. Go work. Put in all the work you want to do. But on the seventh day, even if you have servants, if you have cattle, if you have animals that will work for you, let everything rest on that day. And he punished those that did not do it, to the point of it's death if you don't do that. And I see it carrying on till Jesus' time. But then I start seeing Jesus start changing some things about the Sabbath. Let's look over here in Matthew. Because the religious people had a lot of trouble with Jesus in this area. Matthew in the 12th chapter. In the first verse, at that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered. They began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day. There had been, you know what, God himself set it up that you don't do it on the Sabbath day. But you know what, there's a place where it says that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. You know, here's coming a change now. We don't make a commandment that there's a day a week that we better not catch somebody working. It's changed now. That rest is not a physical rest. And you know, really, that rest back then, you could be forced to not work. But you know what happens is your mind can keep on working. Your mind in that one day could churn all day long of the work that is not being produced, because I am forced not to work. And you have no inner rest and the inner rest is what God's really looking for. In 12 and 11, he says, what man shall there be among you? He's starting to teach them a little something different. That shall have one sheep, and if it fall in the pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. And he healed him then. And there's something else. You know, there are some people that because this was mentioned about the Sabbath day, they still have it that the Sabbath day is the one that is to be worshipped on. Sunday is a regular day to work. While we're on it, where did it change? What caused there to be a change? Do we see when it changed? We now worship on Sunday, the first day of the week. And I'd like to look at where I see it to first be, is in Luke, the 24th chapter. Now upon the first day of the week. Now what happened on that first day of the week? That was the day that Jesus rose. So from that time on, the Christians have always honored the first day of the week. And I was thinking in Revelations when the vision came to John, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. What did they call the Lord's day? The first day of the week. But I was looking at this, the physical requirement that God gave for people to rest for one day. And yet this inner rest could be done, I mean, it could be churning. God wants us to have an inner rest. And that happens, that begins in our mind, in our thoughts. Because you know what, we could all say, you know what, Sunday, when you get out of church, don't do any work. Go home and rest for the afternoon. You know what, it probably would be good for all of us with as much load as we all have on us to rest more. But you know what, that won't bring the kind of rest that this is talking about. Because I have to deal with my thoughts. I can lay in the bed and not get rest because my mind is churning. Jesus has something for us for that too. And I was thinking about what he has for us. Paul talked about it. We've got some weapons that we can use. It's in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. It says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We want to have rest, soul rest. We're going to have to be able to pull down some strongholds. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord wants to lift up a standard against him. And a lot of time that starts in our mind, in our thoughts. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. To be able to have a soul rest is going to have to be able to control my thoughts. And I'm yoking up with Christ, so I'm going to ask him, would you help me with those? And then it gives me also some instruction. In Philippians, the 4th chapter, I want soul rest. It says 4 and 7, the peace of God which passeth all understanding. How can you have soul rest when there's trouble in your life? How can Sister Maxine have soul rest when Brother Lauren passed away 2 weeks ago? It's right here. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We need the Lord. I'm willing to yoke up with him. I need him to keep my heart and my mind. We all need help. Because you know what? It's more than just me saying, I'll tell you what, I'm going to take control of my thoughts. No, what I'm going to need to do is ask the Lord to help me with those. But he also gives me some things that I can do. Eighth verse. Finally, brethren, you know, I can start putting some things in some categories that I think about. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So if I would start the things that come into my mind, start seeing, will they fit in one of those categories? And if they don't, if I realize, you know what, this is going to cause me to lose soul rest, and ask the Lord to help me with it. I would like to look at another place in Hebrews 4 and 1. There's a verse that says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now what I'd like for us just tonight to look at just this, the rest that he wants to give every one of us. I need to have a fear that I don't yoke up with him to the point that I enter into that rest that he wants to give me. And on down, I notice in the ninth verse, it says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Not just that, okay, you'll be able to sleep longer. No, when I wake after that sleep, that I will be able to have peace in my mind. And I need the Lord to be able to help me with that. There is another place at the end of the 13th chapter of John. Jesus is letting them know that he's soon going to be leaving. And then he starts in the 14th chapter with a verse, the 14 and 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. And he starts out telling them about heaven is prepared. Does the thought of heaven bring you soul rest? You know what? It's not common in the world for that to bring peace to someone, to think about leaving this and going somewhere else. Well, you know what? We're living in a time where everybody goes to heaven. You can look in the obituary column, and it hardly matters what the life, they may even tell about the life of the person, but they will end it with saying he's gone to be with the Lord. If people could all know everybody's going to heaven, that'd be one thing. But you know, many people would give everything they have to add a few more days to this life. When I yoke up with Christ, I start seeing everything in a more of a balance. I enjoy everything here. I enjoy the job I have. I enjoy my home. I enjoy my family. I enjoy coming to service with you all. But you know what? If we could just keep in our mind a vision of heaven, what awaits us if we will be faithful? It will bring us a soul rest while we're here. Yoking up with Christ, looking forward to the place that he has prepared for us. I was thinking of a verse, earth holds no treasures, but they perish with using, however precious they be. But there's a country to which I am going. Heaven holds all to me. And you know what? For me to make it to that country, it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You know, that's sometimes Christians as well as a sinner. Because you know what? We can get heavy laden with troubles that come into our life. It's not, that verse wasn't intended only for the sinner. Come to me and I'll give you salvation. It is intended for me when troubles come into my life and they start loading me down. Guaranteed I'll give you rest. If you will take my yoke on you. That means when I yoke up with him that the next time someone does me wrong, I will remember what he said. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. When it looks like my time here on earth is almost over, I'm yoked up with him. to where I remember the scripture. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'm coming again to receive you to myself. I am so thankful that we can have soul rest, a rest that the world cannot give us. The world, we may see more turmoil than we have seen yet. And yet the promise is still there just the same. It didn't say, unless the world's conditions get to this level, and then my rest won't be available for people. You know, when the world gets dark with sin, sometimes we will think, you know, my little light just isn't very bright. But you know what? The darker the world gets, the more of an opportunity we have for our light to shine. And one of the places for it to shine is for us to show that we have a trust in the Almighty God, that He is in control of the things that are happening right now. Nothing is out of His control. When the virus came, nothing was out of His control. There's something that I want us to think about. Even with all that we know about this life and the one to come, even with how many years I've heard preaching that the judgment day is coming, somehow I just don't feel like it'll be tomorrow or next year or years on down the road. It seems like I'm going to live my life. My children will live their life. Their children will live their life. You know, there's coming a time when really and truly it's all going to close down. And as I start seeing the things that are happening recently, I say, Lord, what if we're getting close? The virus, how it could have started maybe with one person in China and spread to the whole world in a short amount of time. You know, we used to think we're safe over here in this country. Nothing can happen. It made me realize, you know what? We're vulnerable. Across the world, we're vulnerable. But is that going to bring us fear? Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. I've got this all in control. I've got a peace. I've got a rest for my people in the middle of all these things. And should it get worse than this, He's got a peace for us. And one of the best things we can do, more than just my words to the people out in sin, is as it gets worse, that with my life I show there still is a rest. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. I don't want to show them by my life I am just as scared as you are of what the future may hold. And I don't have to be if I will realize, you know what, heaven awaits us if we'll be faithful. So I want to look at one more verse, because there was a description of this in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 18. He starts trying to describe what it's going to mean for people that have died. How's all this going to work? Those that have died and those that are not dead when Jesus comes back again. And he says in the 16th verse, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. You know what? I need to be preparing for that time. And one place for preparing for that time is to hold loosely the things of this world. Enjoy it. Using, yet not abusing. Not coming to the place where, if I thought I was going to die tomorrow, I have just built up my 401k to be able to enjoy some years out ahead. You know what? I found out one thing about a 401k. When the virus comes along, it can depart faster than I could have spent it anyhow. You take the stock market fall and what you had on paper, you can circle the number, but it's not there anymore. It's gone. So for us to hold loosely, You know, I could get so wrapped up, I want to prepare for these few years when I retire, that I don't even have time for service. I'm real busy. And the most important thing is coming. Folks, even young people, it seems like you got so much time out ahead of you. Remember one verse. Seek you first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because he's got a soul rest for you when you put him first. You know, today was Father's Day. And you know, God had a plan for mankind. And mankind has departed largely from it. But you know what? He had a plan that worked when we would take it on exactly like he showed us. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. If God could have said that in creation, I got this plan here, but you got a choice whether you'll follow it or not. Many have chosen not to follow. But I tell you, there is a rest to the people of God who have just calmly said, this is what God requires of a man, of a husband, of a father, of a mother. And by following it, there'll be rest to your soul. But this talking about the clouds and going to meet the Lord didn't end there. It gave one more verse in the 18th verse of 2 Thessalonians 4. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. You know what? If I got myself wrapped up in temporal things and you come talking to me when I'm sick about heaven, it's not going to be too comforting. I'm wanting to stay here. But you know what? We ought to live in a place to where when I hear about heaven, it's comforting to me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. That didn't just start to the sinner. It is for us all tonight. We're going to have trouble in our life. And we're going to have to make a decision if I'm willing to yoke up with Christ and follow him. And I am very thankful for the examples. You remember the verse that says, we're encompassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. And by looking at those witnesses, those faithful witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There have been faithful people who enjoyed this life and yet could, when it came their time to go. When I watched Brother Lorne, he loved life. He loved family. He loved this congregation. But you know what? When I watched him come his time, it was like Paul. Kind of like I'm in a strait betwixt two. Lord, if you want to call me to go, there was no, hey, I can't decide whether you need to call 911 or if you need to pray. Uh-uh. It was already settled for him. Lord, help us. We're each one going to come to that time someday. With Brother Lorne, he even had some time to do inventory. Folks, we may not have time to do inventory. There are people that are called out into eternity in an instant. And how they had lived to that second determined how they would spend eternity. We have a great opportunity to take up the yoke with Christ and learn of him in a dark world. But we have a choice of whether we will do it or not. We can make heaven our home if we'll do it. I desire your prayers.